Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Purim, and of course of Shabbos, Parshas Tetzaveh, Parshas Zohar, what a beautiful, wonderful Shabbos and days that follow we have coming up. So, first, I would like to make a comment, an observation, about the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. I've heard it said that the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh and repeated in Parshas Bahalaiska. I'd like to tell you that that is absolutely incorrect. It's not really true. It's not at all true that the mitzvah is mentioned in both places. If you look at the words carefully, the mitzvah of lighting, the Neiras HaMenorah, is only in Parshas Bahalaiska. In Parshas Tetzaveh, it only mentions the mitzvah of lighting the Ner Tumid, the single Ner, which burnt all the time. All it says here is that you should take the Shemen Zayis, Lahalos Ner Tumid. It mentions one Ner. Bayil Meid Mechus LaPareches, Asher Alo Eidus Yarech Oysoi Harein Uvana, Me'erevet Baik of Ne Hashem. It should be Me'erevet Baik, it should be Tumid. So actually, this parsha, at least in the simple reading of the parsha, mentions the single Ner, the Ner Tamid, that's there all the time. Now, of course, we all know, Torah Shabbat Peh is that we have many Neris, and we light all the Neris every single night. Nevertheless, the Parsha that says here is the Parsha of the single Ner, the Ner Tamid, and it's an allusion, of course, to everything else. Why is this significant? So let me tell you a verse from Rav Moshe, and we'll come back. Rav Moshe asked, why in Parshas Tetzaveh, which is the Parsha of Bigdei Kohuna, do we have the Mizbeach HaKetores? At the end of the Parsha, we have the Mizbeach HaKetores, which belongs in Parshas Truma. What has it got to do with Bigdei Kohuna? And Rav Moshe answered that the Mizbeach HaKetores is a remes to the Levush of an Adam Gadol, of a Kohen Gadol. Why so? Because the levush of a kohen gadol, the dress, I don't mean the physical dress, but the holach yelach, the way a adam gadol should behave, is to be like the mizbeach haketores. The mizbeach haketores gave a beautiful reyach to a great distance, all the way to Yerichai. They benefited from the smell of the keteres. The mizbeach haketores is something. It wasn't like most kelim. You go to the outdoor mizbeach, you go there and you do what you have to do. You walk over to the shulchan and you do whatever mitzvah you have to do there. You go over to the kiyar, you do whatever mitzvah you have to do there. These are normal kelim. The keteres was very unique. Keteres gave benefit and pleasure everywhere. That's Zakter Maisha, the Levush of an Adam Gadol. Where Maisha said about the end of the parasha is true about the beginning of the parasha as well. The Ner Tamid is also a semel or a lesson for an Adam Gadol. An Adam Gadol has to be able to be consistent, to always be there, to always be available. And you know something? Light also gives benefit outwards. Maybe not as far as the Keteres, but the light of the Menorah also gave a tremendous amount of light outside Yerushalayim. And therefore, it's Davka the Ner Tamid in this week's parasha. The rest of the Menorah is mentioned in Mahalais, so where it belongs. Over here is the mitzvah of the Ner Tamid. We're going in to talk about a Kayin Gol. They have to be a Ner Tamid. They have to be a Kayach Tmidi, always consistent the way an Adam Gadol is supposed to be. And so, that's a lesson in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. I want to tell you something absolutely beautiful regarding for Purim, an absolutely beautiful lesson regarding Purim. I heard this yesterday from a Yid who was with me in the vehicle as we traveled. He told me the following beautiful vart. When Esther went in to Achashverosh, she said a capital Tehillim, as we know, and she said, Keli, Keli, lama asavtani, rochek mi yeshuasi, divrei shagasi. Hashem, why have you abandoned me? Rochek mi yeshuasi, far from my Yeshua, from my salvation. Divrei shagasi are the words of my roar, or my imploring you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help us. Yeshuasi, my salvation, is Gematria 796. Divrei Shagasi, my tefillah, is Gematria 714. The difference that you need to bridge Shagasi, my bakasha, to Yeshuasi, to my help, is 82. Zakt Esther, Kaili Kaili, Kaili Kaili, Aleph, and a lamin and a yud is 41. Kaili Kaili, twice Kaili is 82. To get from Shagasi, from your request, from imploring to Yeshuasi, to the salvation, to be saved, you need Kaili Kaili. You need to honestly, really call out to Rabbeinu Shalom. To implore the Rabbeinu Shalom with Kaili Kaili, recognize him as my Kael. Kael means the one who is in control of everything that I do. Kael is a lashon of strength. Kaili Kaili. So Kaili Kaili fills in the gap that you need to get from Shagasi, from your davening, to Yeshuasi, to the Yeshua that comes your way. I'd like to share with you a thought from the Chida. It's amazing. I've seen this in 6 or 7 Svarim of the Chida. The Chida, as you all know, or certainly should know, was one of the Gedolei Svarad, one of the great people of Svarad, one of the greatest of the Talmidei Chachamim of a century that saw many great Talmidei Chachamim. And the Chida writes in a number of places that the miracle of Purim took place in countries outside of Sfarad. Sfaradim lived in Spain from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. It's a pasuk at the end of Evadia that the Anshei Yerushalayim were exiled to Sfarad, to Spain. And that's why Sfaradim have a disproportionate number of Kayanim, because the Anshei Yerushalayim specifically, which was disproportionately Kayanim, was exiled to Sfarad, to Spain. During the time of the miracle of Purim, the Sfaradim were not Mehoidu via Kush. They were not in the countries from India till Kush, exactly wherever Kush is. It's basically Asia. And the Sfaradim, they were outside of this challenge. That's what the Chida writes in a number of places. One of the places, I originally saw it in Leiv David, in Perichov Tess of his Sefer of Drushes, but he also says it in the Sefer on Shas, in Sefer Maris Ayin, Avodah Zarah Daf Yud, in the Nachal Eshkol, a Sefer on the Megillah, in Batei Nefesh, one of his Haggadahs, on Tam Mahu Aimer. He also says this in his Simcha Sachag, page Pei Hei. And Yosef Tehillah, he says, Sefer on Tehillim. He says in all these Sfarim, he writes the same Nakuda. He writes that the Sfaradim were really not subject to the Gezerah of Achashverosh. They were not Mehoidu Viyad Kush. And the question then becomes, so why are they part of the observation of Purim and Ashkenaz miracle, and the Sfaradim have to be included? The answer is, says the Chida, I should mention, incidentally, that the Ben Yoyada, better known to many of us, the Ben Ishchai, in the Sefer Ben Yoyada on Shas, in Masechtas Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, where it says, Achashverosh Malach Bekipa, sounds like Achashverosh ruled the whole world. So it doesn't mean the whole world, it means Asia. It doesn't mean Europe, it doesn't mean Africa. It means where most of the people in the civilized world lived at that time. So he mentions this as well, probably because it originates from the Chida. But at any rate, so the question is, so why are they observing the Yom Tov of Purim? Oh, you could say they're doing it for other Jews. But the Chida says something else. And this is really the message of the Chida. He says that the Yom Tov of Purim is not just to commemorate what once happened. The Yom Tov of Purim is because the Oyer of Purim, the light of Purim, the influence of Purim, the impact of Purim, the spirituality of Purim, is something that was put there by Mordechai and Esther and Shushan Habira, And it remains that way from year to year, every year. That oyer, that Gilui oyer, is Nizgala again and again. The Yontif of Purim is not to remember what happened. It is to tap into the tremendous Kimu v'Kiblu, the tremendous energy that was put into this day. The Chidah is referring to an Arizal. The Ramchal in Derech Hashem says this as well. As a matter of fact, in the fourth parak of Derech Hashem, in the fourth chelik of Derech Hashem, in Perek Zion, the Chidah writes generally about all time-related times that we observe things. He says, "Shuv tkufa sazmanahu," whenever a certain time period returns on the calendar, "Yoyer aleinu or me'in ha'or arishan," it shines on us the light which is similar to the first light. That's in Perek Zion. In Perek Ches, he says it specifically about Purim and Chanukah. Specifically about Purim and Chanukah, the Yom Tov and the Rabbanan. We observe them because there's a certain light, a certain energy, a certain power that a person could tap into on Purim. We say, Sh'osa Nisim Avisenu B'yamim Ha'heim B'zman Hazeh. The Nisim were done a long time ago, but B'zman Hazeh. The Zman is still here. It's still that Zman. It's still that magical time of Purim where a person could tap into it. And that ability to tap in is something that you shouldn't let slip away. Don't sleep away the Purim. Don't be tense with the Mishlach Manas the whole Purim. Go to a place where you'll have a ruchnistic feeling, you'll have a spiritual elevation from the fact that it's Purim. That sense of the Kedusha of Purim, that's a sense that a person has to be able to pick up on. And says the Chidah, that's why it says the following year they were Kaveh Purim. The original year they weren't Kaveh Purim. The next year came around. Lashana, let's go, it came. The Divrei Higeres Hashenis. It came a year later. Ooh, then they Chazal understood that the Ur is incorporated into the day. It said the Guf Hazman. And they will convey it forever. The Gemara says in Megillah Da Zayin, "Bitchila kavua b'shushan l'besayif b'chol ha'olam kulay." Originally, they were conveyed in Shushan as a commemoration, like benching Gaimel for something. Shasaneis b'makim or b'zman hazeh, and then l'besayif, and they saw that it's a new influence of this time. B'chol ha'olam kulay. And that's why we say, "Hatshua ha'isala netzach." What's the tikva? In fact, we helped then. That was a long time ago. The tikva, the hope that comes with Purim. It's something that repeats itself on a constant basis. That influence of Purim, that's what we got to tap into. So I just told you something you might not have known. You may not have known this. I have a secret for you. You may not have known it. The Yetzirah knows it. The Yetzirah still. Yeshiva light, when they're in yeshiva, they're swept up in the avir, in the ruach of Purim. And you know something? It develops a kesher. It develops a kesher with rebbeim. It develops a kesher with people who could have a good influence on a person. It does develop something very, very positive. But later, when you're not swept into that influence of Purim sort of automatically, when that doesn't happen, then the Yetzer stells. Yitzhara says, you're tired, go to sleep, tomorrow's another day. What do you mean tomorrow's another day? The night of Purim is a time to go to your Rebbeim, to go to your Shul, to go to your Rav, to go and be influenced, to try to feel, like Mishra night, I'm tired tonight. What do you mean? Mishra night, you shouldn't be tired tonight. But besides that, the idea that this is a time to take it easy, what? Really? Wow. Okay, and with that, I want to wish everyone an absolutely wonderful, meaningful Purim. Tap into Purim. Those for whom it's not tense, please come to my home the night of Purim. After 9:30 or 10 o'clock, well into the evening, we try to connect to the Bayrei Olam. Join me in my home. I'll be home the day of Purim as well, and I hope to be able to feel his karvus, all of us want to each other, and to the Rabbi Dishalayim. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful Parsha Zachar, and a great influence, hashpah, of the Purim that's coming upon us.